I'd like you to turn with me this evening in the Word of the Lord to the Gospel of John. We're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14. And as has been intimated in the meetings that I've been involved in and will be in this Bible conference, we have been and will be looking at the fruit of the Spirit as it is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have thus far considered Christ and His love. Last night we considered the joyfulness of Christ. And this evening, with the Lord's help, the help of the Holy Spirit, we want to look at the peacefulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're turning to John chapter 14, and we'll begin our reading at verse 21. John 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. We pray the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy and infallible word. Before we consider the Lord's word this evening, let us unite our hearts together once again in prayer. We need the Lord's help. I know that this very moment in time how much I need the Lord. And I would pray that the Lord would give us help this evening. O God, eternal, gracious Father, we bow both head and heart before Thee this Monday evening. Lord, we have come into Thy holy presence. We're very conscious of that. We're conscious, O God, that when cherubim and seraphim were in Thy immediate presence, how they veiled their faces and cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And, O Lord, we know that we are before Thee, the thrice holy God. And, Lord, we come tonight in our weakness, needing Thy strength. We come tonight, Lord, as empty vessels, needing Thee, Lord, to fill the vessel to overflowing. And, O God, I pray tonight that Thou will grant me the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. And, O Lord, help me tonight to speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, I would rather not be here if I didn't speak well of the Savior. And so, Lord, give me that help tonight. And, O Lord, I pray, along with those seeking Greeks of a day gone by, sir, we would see Jesus. Grant, Lord, that tonight eyes will be opened, even of the unregenerate, that they might see Christ also. Lord, answer prayer. Fill us with Thy power. Give us unction and grant tonight we'll speak well of the Lord and make much of His precious blood. In His holy name I pray. Amen. Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And that is where we are this evening. And the peace of the Spirit as it is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look there at verse 27 of the portion we have just read. And the Lord Jesus, addressing His disciples, said unto them, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Lord Jesus, for some time, has been preparing His disciples for His soon departure out of the world. He would soon return to His heavenly Father. Before that took place, of course, there would be Gethsemane, there would be Calvary, there would be the garden tomb. And then 40 days, He would appear unto a selected few and a chosen number. And then He would be gone, returning to His heavenly Father, leaving the disciples behind. The Lord Jesus was very aware of how the disciples felt at that time. He was very aware of how they would feel when they would no longer enjoy the physical presence of the Lord Jesus. And dear Christian, tonight you and I know what it is like those times in our Christian experience when the Lord Jesus seems to withdraw himself and hide somewhere, standing in the shadows, and we're not aware of his presence. And we experience something of what Job experienced. When Job cried out in the midst of his sorrow and his bereavement and his loss, he cried out, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever been in that position where you've lost the conscious awareness of the presence of the Lord? It's a terrible experience. It is then that you really know and understand what true loneliness is. But just as the Lord was aware of that loneliness that would be in the hearts of the disciples, so we praise God, Christ is always aware of how we feel. He's touched. That means he enters into. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities so that our fears are his fears. Our tears are his tears. Our burdens are his burdens. Our loneliness is his loneliness. And so he knows all about it. And he knew all about the disciples, that he would leave them behind, and this greatly would trouble them, not knowing how they were going to cope without his physical presence with them every day. And so to calm their fears, he says in the opening verses, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also." In her absence from home, two of her grandchildren that my wife cares for went up to the other grandparents, and one of her grandchildren wasn't too sure about going away. He tried to console him and say, "It's all right, sure, we'll be back in a few weeks' time. We'll be back again, and you're only going away for a few days." And here's the Lord, and he's treating his disciples just the way a parent would children. "It's all right, disciples. I'm going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, and you'll be with me forever." But that didn't seem to console them. And they were still troubled. And there was still fear and uncertainty in their hearts and in their minds. And so the Savior repeated the words there in verse 27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And it was at that moment that the Lord gave them the remedy for their trouble and their fear. It was then that he said unto them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." I will give you my peace. And my peace will rule your hearts. And my peace will rule your minds. And you'll be at peace because I will give you my peace. He promised to leave them his peace. That was his legacy. He promised to give them his peace. That was his gift. He would leave them peace and give them peace before he went away. And over the course of his ministry, as we've seen thus far, the Lord Jesus spoke about my love. my joy. And now he speaks about my peace. First three parts of the fruit of the Spirit exhibited and manifested in Jesus Christ. He has shown his love for the needy. He has given his joy to the sorrowing. And he comforts the trouble with his peace. Wonderful Savior, isn't he? Couldn't get a better friend or companion in life. One who's able to give you love and joy and peace. That which cannot be bought with silver or gold, Jesus Christ gives it to us. Praise his name. We have considered the first two parts of the fruit of the Spirit, the love of Christ, the joyfulness of Christ. Tonight, we want to look at the peacefulness of Christ. Christ gives us his peace. I want us, first of all, to consider Christ, the God of peace. The Lord Jesus told the disciples that if they wanted peace for their troubled hearts, they would not find it anywhere in the world. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Instead, true peace is only to be found in Christ because, Romans 16, verse 20, he is the God of peace. And just as we said last night, that's where joy originates with God. And that's where true peace originates with God, because he is the God of peace. In fact, I find in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ is given that title, God of peace, seven times. Now we know what the number seven in Scripture refers to, that which is perfect, that which is complete. And there in Jesus Christ, what do we have? We have complete, perfect peace. He's the God of peace. Being God, there is nothing lacking in him. So as we consider Christ, the God of peace, we think of Christ the Son. He's God the Son. He's the Son of peace. The Lord Jesus, who is the God-man, made it clear to his disciples that it was only his peace that would bring them comfort. Spoke to them, saying, my peace I give unto you. A few years ago in Port Hope, a man that we knew, my wife used to work for him. His son was tragically killed in a car accident. Parents had no church connections at all. But because they knew us, they asked if I would conduct the funeral. I remember going, when I got the news, the police phoned me to tell me what had happened. I went to see the parents. Heartbroken. As you can well imagine. And while we were there with them, a knock came to the door and two ladies came in. They were part of an organization in the town that when these sort of tragedies happened, they would go to the homes in an attempt to bring peace. And they came in and they were holding a teddy bear. And they wanted to give this teddy bear to the grieving parents in the hope that that would bring them some comfort. And I thought, how sad. Those ladies were doing their best. I wasn't criticizing them for that. They didn't know any better. But this was their only answer. A teddy bear to help bind up the hearts that were broken and aching. That was the best they could do. We were glad that that day we were able to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Giver of Peace. You'll not find peace in this world, but you will find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And so if peace is to be found in anywhere, it will be found in Jesus Christ, not in the world, not in ourselves, but in Christ alone. For these disciples couldn't muster up the peace. They couldn't find the comfort for themselves. But the Lord Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Paul reminds us that all true peace flows from Christ. Romans 1, verse 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Paul commenced all his epistles. Peace from Christ. Peace like a river flows from Christ. It's an ever-flowing river. It's a river, praise the Lord, will never dry up. It'll flow forever. And there'll always be enough in that river to bring peace to any troubled heart or troubled soul. And since we are speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. That's what Christ is. He's all those things. He's all those things. That's who He is. He is love, He is joy, and He is peace. So that if you have Christ, what do you have? You have love. If you have Christ, you have joy. If you have Christ, you have peace. Do you have Christ? Is there anybody here in this gathering tonight who doesn't have Christ as Savior? And you're sitting here this evening out of Christ. Now, if you're out of Christ, I can guarantee something. I can guarantee you don't have love and you don't have joy and you don't have peace. Because those things are only found in Christ. They're the fruit of the Spirit. And all who know the Son are in the Son and have the fruit of the Spirit because that is what we have in Him. Just great, isn't it? Isn't it just great to have Christ and to have all those things in Him? Do you turn to Ephesians? In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For for he is our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There in verse 14 you have Christ, the man of peace. He is our peace. You're down to verse 15, at the end of the verse, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He's the man of peace. He's the maker of peace. And you go to verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Christ, the message of peace. And so if you have Christ, you have his love. If you have Christ, you have his joy. If you have Christ, then you have his peace. He's the Son of peace. And you have Christ, the sovereign of peace. When the prophet Isaiah spoke about the promised Messiah, he described him by giving him five titles. He said he was Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, identified by his royal title, the Prince of Peace. And that is not all, for he revealed himself unto Abraham and did so as the King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. And these expressions and titles are used to distinguish Christ from all other kings. All other kings and princes who delighted in conquest and blood, but Christ is the promoter of peace. He's the procurer of peace. He's the presenter of peace. Isn't that what the theme was for the angels to sing when they arrived in Bethlehem? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. Many on earth have experienced the peace that only the King of Salem can give. Here in this building, this worship house tonight, there are many here and they have experienced the peace that only Christ is able to give. We have experienced that peace because we have experienced a new birth. We have experienced the regenerating power of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is producing his fruit within us. Love, joy, and peace. Turn to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Remember, Christ is the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. He's a ruler. And we read in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Christ is the King of Peace, is the great ruler. He's able to overcome every trial that we may have, every terror we may face, every trouble we must experience. Christ is the King of Peace, and he will rule over every trial. He will conquer every trial, conquer every terror, conquer every trouble. Like times of anxiety. You've been anxious at times. You've lain awake at night. You have a particular problem, a burden, a need. You don't know how you're going to face it the next day. And you're anxious. What will you do? Listen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Those words may also be rendered, thou wilt keep him peace, peace. In other words, in times of anxiety, what will the Lord do for us? He'll give us a double portion of his peace. And you and I know, believer, there are those times we need that double portion. We need that double portion. As Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. The word keep means to garrison, to stand guard. Shall keep your hearts and minds. That's the problem, isn't it? When you're anxious about something, my, the mind just runs wild. And you lie awake for hours at night. You long for the dawn. And you go over the problem in your mind over and over again, and it always seems worse at night. Paul says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall garrison, shall stand guard, and keep your heart and your mind. He'll keep you at peace. Good to have the Savior, I tell you. Good to have the Savior in times like that. And if he rules our heart, then he will rule our anxieties. He'll give us peace in times when we do battle with the adversary, the old troubler, the disturber of the peace, the accuser of the brethren. Yes, our King of Peace shall lead us to victory when we are in conflict with Satan. He comes against us. You know what it's like. You've been there. He comes against us to disturb our peace with temptations, with railing accusations. And he brings up the past and he reminds you of your sins. He reminds us of the old life. Wants to make us feel miserable. Have you ever said whenever the old devil comes against you and brings up your past sins that you ever quote those words? Oh, what though the accuser roar of evils I have done. I know them all, thousands more. Hallelujah, Jehovah findeth none. Because they're all under the blood. But he tries to disturb our peace, but our King of Peace will give us the victory. Romans 16, verse 20, and the God of peace, listen, shall bruise Satan under your feet. That's a good place for him, isn't it? Shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And then we're glad that we have Christ the King of Peace. Those times when we feel alone. When we have to stand alone, when we have to struggle alone, sometimes when we have to just sit alone, and there's fear of the unknown. But give the King of Peace his rightful place. Give him your heart. Your heart is his throne. Let him sit on your throne or his throne. And Philippians 4, verse 9 says, the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that great? When you're alone, and you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You can rejoice that the God of peace shall be with you. That means you'll never be alone. Never. Never. Should all the world forsake you, should all the world turn its back upon you, you will never be alone. For the God of peace shall be with you. My peace give I unto you. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne. But then you have Christ, the securer of peace. It is interesting that the word peace, my peace I give unto you, that word peace actually means unity or concord. Of course, there is no peace where there is no unity. Where there's division, there's no peace. And as unregenerate sinners, there was no unity between us and God. Why? Because we're at war with God. We were at war with God in our unregenerate state. We were at war with God. We were at war with His Word. We were at war with His preachers. We were at war with His gospel. Maybe there have been those times you've said, I don't want to hear that message. I don't want to hear about Christ. You're at war. And while we were at war in our unregenerate state, there's certainly no peace, no unity. If you turn, please, to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. In Isaiah 57, verse 19, we read, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Verse 20, but, in contrast, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, no peace. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. To the one who has been reconciled to God, praise the Lord, there is unity and there is peace. We're at peace with God. But wait, we're not only at peace with God, we have in our hearts the peace of God. And it's good to be at peace with God, and it's good to have the peace of God in our hearts. The peace that only God can give, and the peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. Because in our unregenerate state, there was that great gulf fixed between ourselves, unregenerate, hell-deserving sinners, rebels, and between a holy God. There was that great gulf, and only one person could span that gulf, and His name is Jesus. And He brought about that reconciliation, reconciled God to the sinner and the sinner to God. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, Colossians 1 and 20. And again, Paul has written, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's why we're able to say again with Paul, Romans 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we have received the Spirit of peace. Christ has secured peace for us through his death on Calvary. Press on quickly and we see Christ, the giver of peace. John 14, 27, my peace I give unto you. The peace the Lord Jesus gives to his people, first of all, is true peace. You mean to say there's another kind of peace? Oh, yes. There's the peace that the devil gives. You know, the devil gives a peace. There may be some in the meeting tonight and you're already experiencing the peace of the devil. You're not saved. You're unregenerate. And if you'd only look above your head, you would see the gathering clouds of God's wrath and indignation against sin. And if you look beneath your feet, you would see a gaping abyss. And you're hanging over that abyss by nothing more than a thread. And you sit here tonight. And you'll go home tonight and go to bed and sleep soundly, thinking everything is well. That thread is only to be cut. And you'll fall into that abyss forever. If you're not saved tonight, I would highly recommend that you get saved. What did David say? There is but a step between me and death. There's only a step, my friend. You're only a heartbeat away from a sinner's hell. And yet you sit week after week after week after week when you should be troubled. Remember when I heard the gospel message one time on hell. I went to a mission with a friend of mine, and after the meeting, we went out and laughed and carried on, you know, as if it doesn't really matter to us. Tell you, I knew all about it when I went home that night and went to bed. I couldn't sleep. I was afraid to fall asleep. I was afraid to fall asleep. In case I woke up in hell. You should be afraid. I'm telling you, you should be afraid. But the devil has given you a peace. And he's hoping that you have that peace until the day you die. And the demons of the underworld will come and carry away your soul. To a place where there's no peace, only torments. You need the peace of God. You need the peace that Christ alone can give. Christ alone is the giver of true peace. The disciples saw that. You turn, please, to Mark chapter 4. The Lord is with his disciples in the ship in Galilee, and the storm breaks out. You're familiar with the story. And we read in verse 37, Mark 4, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, that is Christ, asleep." Asleep on a pillow. I know he's God. I know that. But he's also man, and as man, he got tired and weary. And there he is, asleep on a pillow in the midst of the storm. And the disciples come and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Every time I read that, I think, what a terrible thing to say to the Lord. What a terrible thing to say. "Carest thou not that we perish?" There was nobody on the face of the earth cared more about those disciples than the Lord Jesus. But then we read, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. How did the Lord sleep through it all? Do you notice it wasn't the storm that awoke Christ? It wasn't the sound of the raging sea or the beating billows. It wasn't the sound of the howling wind that awoke him. It was the cry of his children. When our youngest son, Stephen, was a child, a babe in arms, he used to take and go into convulsions. Scary thing. Was taken to hospital, had to spend a number of days and nights in the hospital. My wife and I would take turns staying in the ward and staying there with our son during the night. In the children's ward, the children crying here, there, and yonder. I remember one night I dozed off to sleep. And then I suddenly awakened. What was it that wakened me? In the midst of all the crying children, I heard my son cry. And I recognized his cry. I knew it was the cry of my child. None of the other children awoke me. And here's the storm. Christ is fast asleep. And what was it that awoke him? It's the cry of his children. There's the peace that the Lord Jesus is able to give. That's true peace. When the storm is raging, we still have that peace, for Christ says, "My peace I give unto you." It's a timely peace. The disciples were troubled about their Savior going away. And it was then at that time the Lord said, "My peace I give unto you." The Lord makes known to us his peace, especially at the very time it's needed. Speaking to a lady last night, and she had serious surgery some time ago, was worried about it up until the last minute before she was due to go into the operating theater. And a great calm and peace came into her heart. What was that? It's the peace of God. "My peace I give unto you." Timely. It's timely. He gives it when it's needed. In times of trial, times of adversity, and times of anxiety, times of loneliness. It's timely. You turn to Acts 20. And there in Acts 20, we read about Paul. Now, Paul had experienced this peace that Christ alone can give. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Not knowing what would await him. But look at what he says, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That word move. None of these things move me. That word may be rendered not moved in the slightest. Paul wasn't moved in the slightest about going up to Jerusalem. Why? Was he a madman? He should have been afraid, some people would say. Oh, no, not if you know Christ. Not if you're in Christ. Not if Christ is in you. Not if you have the fruit of the Spirit. For whenever you face danger, the Lord gives you that peace at the right time, and you're able to say, none of these things move me, not in the slightest. That's the peace that Jesus Christ can give. Not in the slightest. It's a treasured peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. A lot of people in the world today would love to have the peace that you and I have, Christian. That murderer that's lying in jail tonight with a troubled conscience, he'd give anything if he had that peace. That gambler with mounting debts, wondering how he's going to pay his bills and put food on the table for his children, would love to have the peace you and I have. That derelict that lying out in the street there with no home and no family and no friends, he'd love that peace that we have. We should treasure it. Because when we treasure that peace, we're treasuring Christ. Remember, he is our peace. Finally and briefly, you have Christ and the greatness of his peace. It's a peculiar peace because we read in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, that the Lord gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. There's Peter, Acts 12, he's lying in jail. Herod's about to take his life. And when the angel comes and answered the prayer to bring Peter out, Peter's sound asleep. Say, what? He was to be executed the next day and he's sound asleep. The angel had to give him a dunt, as we would say, to waken him up. He was so sound asleep. What is that? That's the peace of God which passeth all understanding. There you have the martyrs, and they make their way to the stake, and the faggots are being made ready. And there's a crowd gathering to see what would happen, and the martyrs make their way singing. Hallelujah, singing. How do you explain that? It's the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Can't be explained. Can't be explained. It's the peace that Christ gives. It's a possessed peace. It's a permanent peace. That's what you need, isn't it? You need a peace that you can enjoy every day until the day you die. And we have it. Hallelujah, we have it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. The Prince of Peace is with me. Friend, can you say that? Will you be able to say that? When you come to die, will you be like that old rascal Voltaire who went screaming into hell? Man who denied the existence of hell until he came to die and he cried, there is a hell, there is a hell, there is a hell. And he went screaming into hell. You don't want to die like that. You want to die with the peace of God, Christ, in your heart. Will you come tonight? Will you come and seek Christ, the Prince of Peace? And I'll tell you something. He'll not turn you away. Let's bow in prayer.
Let's just bow together, as our brothers said, now in the closing moments of this meeting. In many, many ways, this meeting has become an evangelistic meeting. The Lord has been speaking to people, yes, who are saved, and there has been that great thrust to our hearts, but He's been also speaking to you who aren't, challenging you, warning you. And I trust and pray that you have seen tonight that what the Christian has, you have not. You're missing something. This peace that is found in Christ and Christ alone. And yet the wonderful and the glorious point is that you may come into possession of that peace, even this night, through faith in Christ, made so clear that He is the very embodiment of that peace. And when you have Christ, you have peace. We would urge you to come to the Savior. Just now, as you sit in your own seat, let your heart go up to the Lord, your cry be raised, that God will be merciful to you and that you will have this blessed peace. And that can become a great reality in your life. Young or old, man, woman, you need the Lord. Come to Him tonight. We'd urge you to come. We'd urge you to remain when others have gone. Just take the time to seek the Lord. And we will be glad to talk with you, open up the book and point you to Christ. Don't go home tonight. You've gone home many a time. May this be the night when you'll seek the Lord. And our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, for Thy presence in this meeting, for coming down to give help to Thy servant. We pray that the word proclaimed will bear much fruit. We pray that Thy dear children will have been taught much this evening, and that the truth of God will be imprinted indelibly upon their souls, and that they will live in the enjoyment of who Christ is and what He is to them. And may they go on their way rejoicing. O Lord, we thank Thee that in the midst of the storms of life, In the midst of all the trials and difficulties that come, there is an anchor for the soul. There is one who is our peace. Lord, we pray for those who are unconverted, who may have a false peace, a false sense of security. Strip it away, Lord. Show them their heart. Show them their sin. Show them their need. Show them their danger. But, O Lord, above all, show them Christ. Draw them to the Savior this night. Give grace to come, we pray. O Lord, may there be a work done for eternity. Give poor souls even the courage to step out tonight and get under the blood. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt answer prayer, and Thou wilt arrest hearts, and Thou wilt draw them to Thyself. Be with us now. Bless those who will remain for the refreshments and take our thanks for them. And may Thy grace and mercy and peace be with all who know and love Thee, both this night and then forevermore. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen.